Order. Questions for oral answer. Mr. Yip Hong Wing.
Mr. Speaker, may I have your permission to answer question 1 to 4 together?
Please proceed.
My response will also address written PQs raised by Dr. Hamid Razak in today's order paper and a similar question raised by Ms. Mariam Jaffar, scheduled for subsequent sitting. If the MPs are satisfied with the response, they may wish to withdraw their questions after this session. Let me try to put everyone on the same page. Over the past few years, patient load has been shifting from private hospitals to public hospitals. In 2010, the split between private and public was 15:85. In 2020, it became 12:88. Now it's 10:90. There are many reasons. So the issue of insurance and insurance rider is not the reason why patient load is shifting from private to public. This has been happening for the last 15 years. And there are many reasons. Part of it is that as people get older, some of them prefer public hospitals where there are more disciplines and more holistic care. But another key reason is the escalating cost of private health care. That is in turn fueled by integrated Shield Plan, or IP, riders, which provide overly generous health insurance coverage. And that leads to a greater tendency for over-servicing and over-consumption of healthcare services. Higher private healthcare costs is translated into higher private hospital IP rider premiums. Higher costs translate to higher premiums. And IP premiums for private hospital has been growing at an average rate of 17% annually for the past 3 years, and is double that of IP premiums and even higher compared to MediShield Life premiums. Hence, every year, about 100,000 policy holders cancel or downgrade their IP rider policies. And I suspect amongst them, many switch from private to public hospitals. To Dr. Hamid's question on the indicators that we use as a basis to decide these policies, the data and science have been clear, and the situation is not ideal and not sustainable. We have been actively expanding healthcare infrastructure and expanding manpower in order to cope with rising workload and manage wait times. Our plans are significant. I have made them public before, and I will not repeat here. To Mr. Yip's question, the new requirements for IP riders will only affect policyholders who purchase riders on or after 27 November 2025. Individual IP insurers will decide on their approach for rider policyholders who purchase their plans before 27 November 2025. As for affected IP riders, and these are the new ones, we should expect the following changes. First, IP rider premiums under the new design should be lower, on average 30% lower, compared to existing policies with maximum coverage. And this is a significant recurrent savings. Second, the new IP rider policies will not cover the minimum IP deductibles and also require higher co-payment. We share members' concern about patients' out-of-pocket costs, especially for large medical bills, but this is precisely the main aim of the rider changes: preserve the protection against very large and unexpected medical bills, but disallow coverage of minimum deductible, which is a fixed sum, which users of private hospitals tend to be able to afford. This would help restore health insurance to its original objective, which is to provide assurance against large, infrequent, often unexpected healthcare bills rather than the small bills. For a rider plan designed with the new requirements, there will still be a cap of 5% co-payment up to $6,000 a year, in addition to deductibles. In reality, these need not be out-of-pocket cash payments because patients can tap on their Medisave. We project that 6 in 10 rider claimants should not have to pay cash out-of-pocket after Medisave. For the remaining 4 in 10, majority of those with cash out-of-pocket would pay $1,000 or less, and practically all would pay $3,000 or less. And we should bear in mind that all these numbers I'm talking about pertains to private hospital patients. Their IP premiums have been driven up so high that under the new design, many can expect significant premium savings, which can more or less offset the higher co-payments. In short, the current design of IP riders may no longer make financial sense for many policyholders, and this change will help redress the situation. Let me give you an example. 60-year-old on a private hospital IP and rider with maximum coverage can now save about $1,600 a year in premiums by switching to the new rider. Over 3 years, he would have saved $4,800 in cash, which would be more than sufficient to offset the increase in co-payment for a typical procedure. For instance, $3,300 for a knee joint replacement surgery in a private hospital. Ms. Po asked about support measures for families facing unaffordable out-of-pocket expenses. Patients should consider their financial and healthcare needs when choosing where to seek care, including seeking subsidized care in public hospitals should affordability become an issue. Third impact, there should be, in the medium to long term, changes in the respective utilization of private and public care and wait times. As I explained earlier, this change is part of our efforts to mitigate the shift of patients from private to public healthcare that has happened over the last 10 to 15 years. By putting private healthcare sector and health insurance on a more sustainable path and ensuring private care remains accessible to Singaporeans in the long term. However, in the short term, as a few members have expressed concern about, some individuals on the new riders may choose to seek care at public hospitals to reduce their co-payment. We will monitor this closely. Efforts to expand public health capacity, both in terms of hospital beds and outpatient capacity, are already ongoing to support the demands of an aging population. If need be, we may need to implement surge capacity for selected treatments. On Mr. Kenneth Leong's question relating to the regulation of IP insurers, MOH and the MAS, work closely together in exercising regulatory oversight of IP insurers to ensure that policyholders' interests are protected and the products are sustainable. MOH's key role is to oversee the development and operation of the public healthcare system and ensures universal access to healthcare. For individuals who prefer private healthcare and purchase private insurance, we should not micromanage or prescribe the market practices. Instead, we set requirements pertaining to the key parameters of IPs and riders, such as co-payment and deductible requirements, to ensure that the schemes are sustainable. We only step in when we see a serious market failure emerging, which is why we have intervened in this case to tighten the design of IP riders. Panels, doctor panels, are an example of cost management measures put in place by the market, by insurers, in response to rising private healthcare bills and claims. MOH has been and will continue to work with key stakeholders, including insurers, healthcare providers, hospitals, medical professionals, and consumer representatives through the Multilateral Healthcare Insurance Committee, or MHIC, on these matters to strike a balance between the interests of all the stakeholders. To sum up, we must take a long-term and balanced view of this issue so that we can put private healthcare and insurance on a more sustainable path.
Mr. Yip Hong Wing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the Minister for his response. Minister, I asked this PQ because I received many feedback from my seniors in my constituency who have concerns about the new rider requirements. I just have one SQ. I understand that policyholders may keep existing riders, but insurers may respond by repricing or adjusting the benefits that amount to the de facto coverage reduction. What specific safeguards will MOH impose to prevent such indirect erosion of benefits, especially for aging policyholders with limited options? Thank you.
Minister Ong.
The most important safeguard is to make sure that the IP rider policies are sustainable. So while I think at the point of being sold the policies, the agent probably tell them buy all these for peace of mind, absolute, not just peace of mind, for absolute peace of mind. You don't have to worry about paying anything or very minimal. But that went down a path of unsustainability. So I think while you enjoy it for a while, it is obvious through my answer that I explained, it's becoming unsustainable. Because when it's over coverage in a private hospital, the bills just goes up. Yeah, you can't blame anybody. It's just the way human nature are. Somebody else is paying for most of the bill between doctor and patient. Somehow you will oversupply or will overconsume. And the bill just keep on going up at an unsustainable pace. And it still comes back to the consumer, to the patient in terms of higher premiums, which is why now the same residents that give you that feedback is also screaming, why is my premium going up at 20% a year? My IP rider premium. It's because cost is going up. So I think we need to tackle the issue at the root, and our strong hypothesis is, and in fact there's a lot of literature on this, overcoverage just lead to wastage and cost increases. So to cover, to redress this for new riders, we are making the design different, a bit more co-payment, instill discipline in both the supply and demand for healthcare. Then I think we are much more likely to have a more sustainable position. So explain to your residents, choose this new rider, tell them that you're paying very high premium, rising premium now, for tail risk, you know, and it may not be worth it. Do their calculations, talk to their financial advisor. If you choose the new rider design, you save on average 30% of premiums every year. For someone in their 70s, that's a lot. That's $3,000. I gave the example, someone in their 60s save about $2,000. That money saved, often, if it differs case to case, often is more than enough to pay the deductibles and the co-payment.
Ms. Polisan.
Thank you, Speaker and Minister. I have one question, SQ. How would MOH prevent adverse selection, that is, those who have existing riders continue to overconsume medical services, while those who actually do not have the means to finance the co-payments and deductibles then decide to give up their existing riders and may possibly end up delaying their treatment?
Mr. Ong.
There are a few questions in that question, I think. But if I were to suss out what are the key questions, one is you want to have continuity of care. So be assured, even if you find that today I cannot afford my IP rider anymore because it is getting expensive and they give it up, there is always public subsidized health care. And that is our assurance to all Singaporeans. You can always come back to public health care. And we are expanding the system. We are recruiting manpower. We are very busy, but this is our commitment to all Singaporeans. So on the health care front, be assured that it is always be universal health care through the public health system. As for others who continue to stay on their riders, I think they are also feeling the pinch, as I mentioned to Mr. Yip just now. IP rider premiums are going up at a very fast rate because cost is going up at a very fast rate. Why is cost going up? Because there's over-generous coverage leading to overconsumption, unnecessary treatment. So many healthcare, many existing rider policyholders are also rethinking. I hope more will do so. Increasingly, it's a common knowledge over dinner tables amongst friends and colleagues. More people are thinking about this rider policy may not be worth it. And more people do their calculations and find that it's not worth it. And as it is, 100,000 every year is changing. With these changes, with this signaling, I think more may do so. And at some point, insurance companies have to do their calculations. Year to year, they do change their terms and conditions. We have to see what they intend to do with existing rider policyholders.
Dr. Hamid Raza.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the Minister for the reply. The reason I asked the PQ is that there's been lots of sentiments from my colleagues in the restructured hospitals that waiting times for subsidised patients have been increasing. And they're worried that with this new rider coming up from April, that those who are on private riders will then switch to public healthcare because of the higher cost sharing that is in place. Will the Ministry and the Minister be able to reassure that there's data in place to say that these new rider principles will in fact continue to encourage those with private riders to remain in private healthcare, and also reassure that insurance companies will not make unilateral decisions on premium hikes, for example, which again would deter our residents from staying in the private healthcare, and this would give rise to a surge capacity in our public institutions as well. Thank you.
Minister Ong.
Let me briefly address the comment Mr. Hamid made towards the end of your question, which is insurers do not unilaterally make premium hikes, but these are private contracts. Government do not regulate their premiums. And when insurance companies find that cost is going up and they are barely making, most of them are actually making losses on their private hospital insurance portfolio, they'll end up raising premiums. This is something we are watching, but this is something in a commercial arrangement, something that they may do. But thank you for raising the concerns of your colleagues in the public healthcare system. I'm totally with them. I'm equally concerned with them, which is why we are making this move. Because as I mentioned earlier, over 10, 15 years, the shift is very discernible away from private into public. And as I mentioned, a key reason is the rising costs in private hospitals. And why costs are rising? It's because IP riders is fueling that cost increase, shifting people from private to public. It makes a lot more sense when someone has the ability to buy private healthcare insurance, including a rider, wants to use private insurance, but half of them today switch to public subsidized care. I don't know for what reason, but it will help the entire system, and in particular the public healthcare system, if more of them who can afford it stay with private hospital care. And so private hospital care has to become more accessible, more affordable. But we cannot do that without this adjustment in IP rider policy. So please tell your colleagues, they have mine and my colleagues in MOH, our assurance that we are watching this closely. Wait times is very important to us. Capacity adequacy is very important to us. And their well-being is very important to us.
Mr. Kenneth Teong.
Thank you, Speaker. Thank you, Speaker. MOH itself notes a trend of escalating costs and premiums alongside tightening claims and practices. MAS can act on unfair claims handling, but MAS is primarily a financial regulator. Now, MOH's direct levers seem strongest when policies are Medisafe linked. So my question is, what enforceable levers does MOH have to ensure that insurer conduct advances healthcare affordability and access? And where does MOH remain dependent on MAS? Also, it appears to me that no one is cleanly accountable for insurer behavior as a health system actor. Does the minister believe that this is a gap that requires filling?
Minister Ong.
IP rider has become a problem, and we are taking action. And I think that's an action that shows our accountability that when something is not sustainable, not working in the best interest of the patients and people, we will take action. Between MAS and MOH, I think we have plenty of levers, and we will work together to make sure that insurers is operating in a way that's ethical, that's in the interest, that is viable, but at the same time, in the interest of patients and the people we serve. And I think we have more than enough levers to do so. But what I think, because there's a part of Mr. Teong's question that talk about panel doctors, so I think what we want to make sure is that when we decide that government's main responsibility is actually to run the public healthcare system to ensure universal accessibility. But when it comes to private healthcare, we let the market operate. But market don't operate in a laissez-faire manner, we will regulate. And when we regulate, we ensure clinical effectiveness, safety, that the key parameters are in place, is sensible, and the system is sustainable, and there's no great market failure. But we should not be tempted to become micromanaging, because it is the worst thing to do, to say that we leave it to the market by micromanage all your actions and behavior. I think that's the worst thing, worst of both worlds, that you might as well nationalize it. But we already have a huge nationalized system in public healthcare. So for private healthcare, control the important levers, control the key parameters, but let the market operate.
Lord SQ, Mr. Fadli Fauzi.
Thank you, Speaker. Minister, is there sufficient surge capacity in our healthcare system to deal with more private patients coming in after this policy change, especially for smaller procedures that are under the deductible limit? Thank you.
Minister Ong.
Again, I want to remind the member that because of aging population, demand has been going up. There has also been a trend, a secular trend, of private hospital patients moving to public. So whatever problem that you are painting now, it has been happening for the last 15, 20 years. Yeah, and it's an issue we are most concerned about. We've spoken in this chamber many times how we are expanding capacity, ensuring people are healthy, moderating the demand by controlling chronic diseases. But this is an additional fuel to the fire that we are facing, which is mainly an aging population pushing up healthcare demand. So we'll continue to expand the system and take a multi-pronged approach to both increase supply and moderating the demand for healthcare, especially unnecessary treatment and wastage.